Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome all to the Executive Edition. I'm your host, SosaFlow from the Poke Battle Network, and I'm here interviewing the top trainers and content creators that we have had throughout our entire journey as battlers. My next guest here has been an amazing, consistent content creator who keeps spitting out those Pokemon that you just were like, man, I wonder what it would be like to just run an XL Shadow Ducklet. And this man just does it and gets you a video and shows you how it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in Home Slice Henry. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Dude, thank you so much for all that you do. So real quickly, why don't you give the audience a little introduction of who you are?
Yeah, I am Home Slice Henry, and yeah, I make content over on YouTube primarily, and yeah, I'm kind of started out as just in the pandemic and whatnot. I was working from home, didn't really have the ability to go out and do a lot of stuff in lockdown, and was kind of from a creative aspect, kind of going crazy, clawing at the walls a little bit. And I was playing Go Battle League. I had started it up a bit and I was not the best at it, but I wanted to do something where I could like connect with people and kind of share in this experience, because I was pretty bad at it, to be honest. I was bad, but I was like, I want to get better. I want to try doing something with my time, because if I watch any more hours of Netflix just at home, I was going to lose my mind. So with the help of my fiance, who was extremely impactful in terms of like getting me over the fear of like, you want to do this, but what if no one watches? And her being like, well, it doesn't matter. Just if it's going to make you happy, just do it. And I finally got out there and I did it. And I realized that I really enjoyed it. And getting to make content like that is something that I find really like creatively fulfilling. Just the ability to make fun stuff and run stuff that people may not necessarily expect, and just show that there's more than one way to play the game. Because I know in this game, a lot of the time we can get mad stressed out. I mean, it's Go Battle League, it can be stressful, but just showing that sometimes you can just kick back, run some fun stuff, and there's like a different way you can play. Where obviously, if you want to push for leaderboards or whatnot, that's great, but if you also just want to run fun stuff, you definitely can.
Preach. I totally agree with you on that. You don't always have to just copy the one line. I think at the beginning of that pandemic era, I think in order to really like battle and Go Battle League, you had to wake up and just find out what like the three or four content creators were running, and you basically just saw the same things over and over again. So bringing in that extra like new point of view, new Pokemon, kind of a different look at how to battle it out is really lovely. As a spice battler myself, I love it when you can see other aspects as it, because some battlers are tank Pokemon battle users. Some battlers are more attack weighted, go for your shield Pokemon battle users. So the fact that you are giving us content like this to give us as much of many Pokemon as possible. My guy, XL Wailmer was your latest one? Like, how do you have the dust? How do you already have a 50 gold dango? Like, I just did my first lure party, and I'm like still 800 shy of my first gold dango.
The gold dango at the very least was a lot of walking in below freezing temperatures for those gimme gold bags. I live in the Midwest in the US and it's still aggressively winter. So just basically getting entirely too many layers of clothes for walking for that half hour. By the end of the half hour, my hand would actually just be like bright lobster red from how cold it is out there from just trying to catch all those gimme ghouls and then meeting up with locals and doing lure parties. So definitely wasn't easy, but I just, at least from trying out the new stuff early perspective, like the level 50 golden go, like even before I had a channel, like I actually, now this might be a bit of a surprise, I actually, Pokemon Go was my introduction to the Pokemon franchise as a whole. I didn't
get out of here.
Yeah,
what?
I didn't play growing up, man. And so
tell us this story, sir.
All right, so all of the, like, so back in 2016 when the game first dropped, I was in college at the time, and like when it dropped, I was at the Summerfest Music Festival in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with my college roommate and our like college friend group at the time. And my college roommate was super into Pokemon, so he was like, bro, you have to get this app. And I was like, I didn't know anything about Pokemon. I knew like a Pikachu was a thing, and that was about it, to be honest. And then he was like, yeah, you have to get it. And then you had to pick a team. And then he was like, bro, I don't want any beef in the dorm room. You got to pick Team Mystic. So I was like, okay, fine. I didn't know anything about Pokemon.
Dang.
So I've kind of gotten to grow and experience the new generations as they've arrived to go, which has been very cool. Also, the funny thing is my roommate gave up the game after like 3 months. And here I am still playing it. But it's been kind of like when new stuff dropped, it's just been brand new to me. Like, so even before I had a channel, I loved like whenever they would have a new Pokemon drop, I'd go out there, try and find it, try and build it, because it was something brand new. And I was like, yo, that's really hype. And now that I get to do it for like a content perspective, it just ends up working out very well because I can carry over that kind of like, I guess, childlike joy at something new and then getting to make content on it. But yeah, so I was, it's, yeah, I've never played any of the main series games. Even now, like, I still haven't, unfortunately, but it's been cool to kind of experience this as the months come into the game. Cause for me, it's a little bit like Christmas every time some new drops, cause it's just a brand new Pokemon to me that I'm not familiar with.
So I get you up until the first gen. So I got Gen 1 at the beginnings, but like Gen 2. I did Gen 2. I was up till Johto. But like stop. So like all these new Poke, like this Bruxish and all that stuff, super exciting. And then you see all the old time like veterans are like, oh, this Pokemon. No, what's stupid, this Pokemon. But then like you play it in like Go Battle League, GBL with like Bite and Psychic, and you're like, oh, goodbye your life. Yeah, this Pokemon. So I'm right there with you. I always wonder, as like from somebody who's really dedicated to the game, right? You get to grow with it throughout the years. Like, is it still as enjoyable as like when you and I get to see a new Pokemon? It's like the great, it's like Christmas. You're just so happy. You're like, oh my God, a new thing to play, a new toy to play with, a new shiny thing. And I just think that's so crazy that the entire concept of Pokemon has just been so new to you and so exciting for you. And the fact that you're now, you know, a content creator doing it up, like not just any, like a good content creator doing it up and helping and consistently bringing out great stuff like that. Like you said, like, it's just so funny when you talk about, you know, you say your roommate bailed after 2 or 3 months and you're still doing it. Like, that's just the beauty of the game sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, if you had asked me like 5 years ago where I thought I'd be, it definitely wouldn't be here, but I'm incredibly grateful that it turned out this way where I'm able to make content full time. And it's genuinely probably the coolest job that I ever could ask for. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do post college, and like I worked in insurance for quite a while, and that was like a job that paid the bills but wasn't really something that like I was super passionate about. But then being able to do this has just been incredible amounts of fun, and getting to combine not only just the battling aspect of it, but I would say almost what I prefer even a bit more is the shoutcasting aspect of it. Like, to start with, it was just my own battles, me trying fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And now there's other people who are like, yo, Henry, I have some heat for you, my guy. I have this crazy spice. And then they'll like send in a submission and I can shoutcast it. Because being able to shoutcast and bring that hype to those battles is something that I'm very passionate about as well. Because good battles by themselves can have excitement, but I like being able to try and bring that extra X factor of having a caster that can bring the battles to life even in a bigger way. Like, it's something, I grew up watching a lot of sports, and you can definitely tell in those big sports moments, they can be like, it doesn't matter how good of a play can be on the field, it can always be elevated by a great caster. Mm-hmm. And that's a goal of mine, is to try and elevate moments like that and get people excited about the game. Because if you can bring it in and like bring in potentially new people who haven't played the battle aspect of it before, because obviously they have millions and millions of people who play Go. Not a lot of people, well, or at least comparatively to the total amount of players, are playing the Battle League aspect of it. So showcasing that and showcasing it in a way where it seems fun and engaging to get people starting on that learning process. Because the learning curve isn't the most friendly, but in the long run, like, it can be just, it's something that I definitely want to help try and grow the community and just show people that this can be an aspect of the game that can be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the great energy voice. I watched your first video just recently, and the quality is 100%, a factor. It sounded like you're talking through old-timey radio. But as I was,
right? Yeah. I had this old, terrible quality headset. Yeah, it sounded like it was like a World War II radio broadcast out here. And I was honestly just very nervous and apprehensive about making videos for the first time. Like, it's something I wanted to do, but like, I mean, as someone who, you mentioned that you make content yourself, like, I imagine you can probably relate to it. Like, it can take a certain bit to like find the confidence, but also just kind of find your voice in regards to all of that and find your niche and how you want to present your content.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought your energy in that video, even though it was a terrible quality audio, just dominated everything. And it was so exciting and electric, as even though like you had like a full tanky Cresselia just waiting to go in the back. You're also the one testing out the boom burst and then watching that. I watched the Como boom burst and the energy and the look completely different. Like, you, how long, let's get a little more into the interview then. How long did it take for you to find your voice? Because you found your viewership, you found your fanship immediately, but how long did it take you to find your voice?
I would say it's kind of been an evolving process over time, because at first it was at least finding the way that I wanted to shoutcast the battles is definitely something that I feel like is probably a process that'll never entirely be finished. Like, it's always evolving and adapting, because I want to be trying new stuff and continuing to see what I can do to up my game. But it's definitely been like as you mentioned, if you listen to like the first ever video to now, there's a definite difference. And then it's kind of just been an evolving process over time, for sure. And just as I got more comfortable with it, and a lot of that as well has been just getting more comfortable with streaming. Because streaming from like an outside perspective seems like, if you watch a stream, it seems like, oh, I could do that. You're just talking to people. But in reality, you're talking to yourself into a camera, and then just getting comfortable with basically talking to yourself as if there's people there, even though it's just you in a room with a camera, is something that over time, as I got more comfortable with that, that helped me a lot more with being able to kind of be me, I guess, and then kind of let that timidness go away for a bit, because it can definitely be a bit of an adjustment if you haven't done it before, but just being able to be comfortable talking to, like, when I first started, there wasn't really a lot of people in stream, but honestly, I was mainly doing it because I enjoyed it. So I was getting comfortable with kind of describing what I'm doing, trying to keep people engaged if they were there, has been really nice. And then as the audience continued to grow, just making sure to kind of stick to what I'm doing in that regard, where even if, like, my goal with shoutcasting is, even if people are doing something, like, let's say they have the video on, they have, I don't know, like, the wireless AirPods in, and they're like cooking dinner and they're like cutting up some vegetables or whatever. So they're probably looking at the vegetables so they don't like chop their hand off. Mm-hmm. Like, they can still hear the shoutcasting and know what's going on without seeing the battles. Because I feel like if you can describe it in that way, that helps people who have to look away for a moment, or as well, also people who are a lot newer and might be trying to understand Go Battle League, kind of explaining to them what's happening as it's happening. Because I imagine if you don't know what's happening in Go Battle League, it all just seems very fast. And you may not understand all of those like split second, very precise decision-making that's done in games.
Mm. Tell us about it. How many of your friends and family still tell you, even though you've been more precise on telling what's going on, how many of them still go, I put on your show and it was sounding like you're talking a whole other language, but it was great.
Yeah, my parents, I mean, they've been very, very supportive with it, which has been nice, because it's definitely like not what I went to school for and whatnot, because obviously you don't really go to school for a degree in Pokemon. But they've they don't necessarily, because obviously they didn't play the games either. So for them, it's a bit more like, as you mentioned, like a whole different language. But they've been very like understanding and supportive throughout the process, which has been awesome.
That's wonderful. Good. That's great that you have supporting parents too. I mean, yeah, no parent wants to see their child not go on a good track, but if the track is actually going to be good and Pokemon is actually going to help you, then yeah, by all means, go for it. Do what you got to do, and you make great content. It's always fun to put on one of your shows and just watch you run this set line through GBL.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's definitely been a long road to get here, but I'm happy to be where I'm at now, where basically for a while I kind of did it for, I was streaming and putting out videos every couple days for I think like 6 or so months. And then I ended up, actually part of the reason how I ended up getting to where I am now is we talked about earlier how I just really liked finding new Pokemon when they released. And I think it was, hold on, I'm going to pull up my app so I can get the exact date here. We had in December of 2020, Greninja dropped. And keep in mind, as we discussed, I didn't know Pokemon. So I see this like dope looking frog Pokemon and I'm like, this thing is sick. I want to find one. And I was working from home at the time. So I went out on my lunch break and then I see that Froakie shadow on the nearby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm taking a detour, because you know how like when it's a new shadow, it shows from like way further away. So I drive like pretty decently out of my way, catch it, check the IVs, 0-14-13. And I was like, I'm rare candying this tonight. And I put out a video and it just so happened that I was the first of like any content creator to have a video out just off of pure luck. And then Greninja, which I then learned after the fact, is like a big fan favorite in the series. And that's kind of how my channel was discovered and blew up. Like I had done video streams for 6 months, had like 300 subscribers. I woke up the next morning and I was at 1K. It was just the craziest thing ever. And just out of kind of, it feels like kind of out of nowhere, where I didn't feel like I did anything different, but I just tried to keep it consistent. And then from there, it's just been continuing to grow the channel and see what I can do. And then eventually I decided I wanted to try and go full time. So then I started posting daily videos, but I also didn't leave my job. So I was basically working two full-time jobs for a while, where I'd work 8 to 4:30 Monday to Friday. And then I would be streaming 4 times a week and putting out daily videos. So I was basically working like 60 to 70 plus hour weeks between the two. But then eventually got to the point where in October of this past year, I was finally my actual job is going through restructuring and whatnot. And I'm like, I'm just going to jump off the deep end and try it. And it's been definitely an adjustment, but I'm beyond grateful and don't know what I did to get to this point, but I'm just incredibly grateful to be here.
That's an awesome, awesome journey, my man. Gray Ninja. Yeah, I wouldn't know that's a team favorite either. That's great. Like, I love when you find the new ones, because I went and I found that with Hakama-O. Because I wanted to go hunting for a Hakama-O, because I love dragons. So just like you, like, this looks great. I'm going to go get it. But by that point, you know, though technical had already posted up a video or somebody like that. But I'm not one of those that post, you know, that has all those resources to just build like a maniac. So I've got to ask you, how long do you go grinding?
I do a decent amount of grinding, but I would say I oftentimes try and, like, in terms of, to phrase it in the most nerdy way possible, in terms of resource accumulation. All right, that sounded awful. I try and go by the work smarter, not harder. So I'll like grind really hard during like the boosted dust events and stuff like that. And like during the go battle days, I'll play all my sets. And I really try and focus my grinding on events where there's some form of boosted dust, whether it's like this past event that has Paris in it, or like the triple dust comm days or whatever. So those are where I'll really try and put my effort in. And then I basically just don't build any raid counters as well. Like, I know a lot of people spend dust on like, oh, I'm going to build a team of Kartana because it's a really good raid mon. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Now, let me ask you this. You started Go Battle League. What season? Were you right there at the beginning of the season? You said you just jumped in just to kill some time in Go Battle League. Is Go Battle League like your main source on your Go Battle days when it comes down to grinding?
Yeah, I would say it's Go Battle League, like during the Go Battle days, and then any of those like boosted dust events.
Okay. So you stream, 70 hours. That's, I understand that. And good for you. You get a set schedule for that, folks. If you're trying to do that, make sure you have a set schedule for that.
Absolutely.
If you don't have a set schedule, then it's not, you're shooting yourself in your foot trying to live stream.
Yeah, I would definitely not recommend my path. Cause I kind of overdid it to the point where I was heading towards a serious case of burnout just with the amount of hours I was working. And that was basically 7 days a week as well, because I had my regular job for 5 hours and then I would stream quite a bit. But yeah, it's been ahead.
No, you're fine. Tell us more about it. I just want to know about the fun part about this journey. You get to this grind, you've been GBL and you've been interviewing as a content creator, right? Are you enjoying the battling scene through that time? I would hope so, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Right. I was hoping for a lot more in terms of move shakeups for this past season, but yeah, battling is still something that I have a lot of fun in. And I think part of that is because I'm trying to find more, not necessarily top three PV poke options, but trying to find some interesting off-meta stuff. Like, I've been having a lot of fun in the Open Great League with Chestnut as of late. Nice. So just trying to find stuff that's not necessarily the same cookie cutter teams that people are using, but still trying to have success with it.
Yeah, I ran Moltres for a little bit because people swap in Noctowl thinking that their bird's thicker, and then they don't shield the Ancient Power. You're like, bye Noctowl, next. So I love that aspect that you're bringing in that spice thought process. So then, how many times have you hit Legend, sir?
I've hit Legend every season since Season 3. Although, Season 3 was... I was cutting it close, man. I think so, yeah. Season 3, it was the morning of the new season. I used all of my sets, and then on the second to last set, I managed to hit Legend.
Dang! I love that when you get to go through it and you're like, come on, please. I know I have one more set to reset. That's great. So you hit Legend 3 times. What's your favorite 3 Pokemon to use when you battle in?
Ooh, that is a tough one. I would say that it can depend quite a bit, but in this past Ultra Fantasy Cup meta, I was extremely vibing with Ironhead Berserker. I was running a Foul Play Ironhead, and then I was running a Giratina Origin and Flygon. I was having a lot of fun with that. And then in Open Great League right now, I really like Toxapex, kind of a bit filling the role of what Nidoqueen used to do pre-nerf, just because Toxapex, I really like it for its ability to, it can hang with the Flyers very well, just purely based off its massive bulk, and also does a really good job of shutting down the Fighters and Fairies.
Yeah. It's so thick. It's so beautiful. I'm enjoying it in Color Cup. And I actually think with this new Ninetales, the Toxapex meta shift could come, because it's like having a Bastiodon. And what better to have a Bastiodon now that everybody's playing with it in the Color Cup, that it could come out for more in the future, especially with the Ninetales.
Absolutely.
So those are the three that you like to play with. That's wonderful. I mean, so then you go basically specifically for round. You don't really have, like, if a meta comes out, then let me ask you this, because it sounds like you and I think the same way. When you get a meta and you see a typing, do you immediately just pick like one Pokemon from each typing that you like go to immediately, whether it's a meta Pokemon or a spice Pokemon? So like, for instance, if water Pokemon showed up, I will go for Caracosta. I'll be like, can Caracosta play? Is Caracosta, is that a thing? Can we do this? Cause I think that rock throw, surf, and body slam is just a fantastic moveset on a Pokemon that just needs to be a little thicker.
Absolutely, yeah.
But do you do that when you see metas? Are there like special, like, do you specifically think of spice Pokemon first?
I will, more often than not, in terms of with trying to identify like useful anti-meta or spice picks, I'll try and figure out what I think is like the big bad meta core, and then try and figure out spicier picks that have play into both of them. Like,
what do you mean both of what? Both of the meta core, like the
like both of the Pokemon in that meta core. So trying to figure out what basically the BBML top number one PV poke line is, so to speak, and then go from there. Like in this current Color Cup, like obviously Toxapex and Trevenant, and then just trying to find picks that have played into both. Whether that's like Shadow Ampharos, whether that is you go on the spicier end, like Hisuian Arcanine, just trying to find more off-meta picks that have play into both. Because oftentimes people, when it comes to team building and strategies, will have very specific plans for the meta mons they're seeing, which is good. But sometimes if you throw something anti-meta at them, it can take them a bit to figure out what they want to do. And that slight hesitation allows me to get a bit of a increased energy lead, and that can oftentimes help quite a bit as well, just from people being unprepared for it.
Yeah, that macro play.
Absolutely.
Huge. You said it earlier, like the micro in-game plays, huge. I see you've dived into Sylph as well as GBL. I know we've talked about a lot of the GBL, but I see you dived into Sylph as well, being a battler who likes to try all new types of Pokemon. Let me know what your thoughts are. What are your thoughts about Sylph? I don't see a lot of videos of Sylph from you, but what are your thoughts of Sylph?
So Sylph is something that I do have a lot of respect for. I did a lot more of the solo Sylph to start, and this was like way, way back in the day. And then as of the current moment, a lot of my Sylph participation is through factions. So I've really enjoyed the team-based format of that, being able to like scrim with teammates, you know, helping teammates with coming up with different strategies for different metas. And so I was like main participant in our faction for a couple cycles. And then now that like content stuff has picked up, I'm now more of an alternate, but I'm basically just helping people devise strategies and then helping them practice, helping them scrim, trying to be the opponents. What's the opponent going to do? How can we best counteract that and go from there? So I would say from that aspect of it, like if you haven't tried Sylph factions, like get a group of people who you genuinely enjoy playing with and make one, because the community aspect of factions is just absolutely unreal. I love it so much. It's so good.
It's one of my favorites. We were actually, our teams were in the same group last season for Platinum, but I don't know if you jumped in against us or not.
I jumped in 1 week. I was subbing in for Master League because our Master League Spice Lord aficionado Boy Ghost had to take the week off. So I stepped in for Master League once last cycle.
Boy Ghost played against us. We played you guys last week of the cycle, and you guys have a great team. I think you guys advanced. You guys now advanced to Platinum Diamond. Congratulations to your team for advancing to Diamond, I believe.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been very cool to see. Like, we haven't really had a lot of turnover from start till here. We've just kind of worked on stepping up our game, and I know a lot of factions can have players coming and going like crazy, but for us, it's primarily just the same core group of people going from there and just trying to be the very best that we can be. And yeah, it's been Diamond's definitely going to be a heck of a challenge, but
we
are definitely excited.
With all the new upgrades and drops that came into Diamond, buddy, it's going to be really tough. But you guys have it. You guys had a great hold on Platinum, tied for first with 21 points. So congratulations to your team advancing that. And yeah, I as a battler and as a content creator from the beginning, from seeing battlers from the beginning of Sylph, right, from season one, watching the solo, because it was mostly solo at that point. A lot of them now just do factions like you. And it's just something that they prefer to do because of that team aspect, the everybody working together, the you're not locked every matchup every week of the round in this tournament. You can just talk with your buddies, shoot, you know, give you some ideas, and then, you know, do your matchup, let your team win or lose, feel good about it, and then get on to the next week. So I feel like a lot of battlers nowadays are leaning towards factions. And that's really great that that's what you did here with your career, with your Sylph career, shall I say.
Yeah.
That real sturdy season 2-3 Sylph career you got going on there. You got regionals. Like, I'm really, like, great job on getting regionals. And I see you brought my boy Caracosta to your invitation.
I got smoked at regionals. I did no prep.
My guy.
I just said, I want to bring Caracosta. And then I think I also brought Shadow Salamence. I got whooped, but I had fun.
So, season 3 regional team. I've got it pulled up right here. We've got Caracosta, Rock and Rolla. Oh, no, sorry, Gigalith. Sorry, the evolved of Rock and Rolla. Gigalith. Love it. Was this right after Community Day?
This was pre-com day.
Yeah, this is pre-com day. I looked at this Pokemon too, and I really wanted it to work because I'm like, this looks so awesome. But it's got no moveset to help it out. You got the Altaria. So you got one meta Pokemon. Good for you. Then this is the one that gets me, and I'm just so baffled. Shadow Salamence. That just blows my mind, because as a battler, I know that Shelgon far better than Salamence because it's tankier. It's got better defense. It can take a hit. It's Salamence. Cannot take anything.
Salamence can't take a hit. A resisted Hydro almost KOs, but that Shadow Dragon Tail damage, no one's trying to deal with that.
Yo, yeah, I know what you're talking about, because I saw that when Shadow Salamence came out, I was like, oh, Shadow Shelgon's going to be great with that Dragon Breath. Oh, and like that extra umph damage on Dragon Tail from that Shadow boost. What was the game plan then?
I'll be honest. I really didn't have one. I just did no research into the meta, said I want to run Shadow Salamence, and then got smacked.
Love it.
That was a valuable lesson to me of spice is good, but you should probably figure out what the meta is. And then that was kind of one of the things where I was talking earlier, where now I try and identify like potential like meta cores and try and find spicier picks to break that. That was in the days when I didn't do that. I just kind of threw spice at a wall and hope it stuck. And I got destroyed, like straight up. I got whooped. So that was part of the adjustment process to be like, yo, hold on. I should maybe do some, like, if I want to run something spicy, that's good, but I want to make sure that it has play into what I'm expecting a lot of the top picks to be.
I applaud your your adventurism, your courage, sir. Like, absolutely. Don't listen, battlers out there. Don't do this. Do not go into any regional tournament, whether it's your Sylph Regional Invitational or a Play Pokemon Invitational, with zero to no research, thinking that you're just going to run whatever Pokemon you want. Because there's metas for a reason. And that's why people like Homeslice Henry have created content, so that you know what Pokemon can do against the metas. So please, absolutely, do your research.
Yeah, I remember, I think my downfall there was, in that meta, there was a lot of Dragon Claw Mew. And that was obliterating my sound.
Is that Venture Cup? I'm trying.
I think it might have been.
Because I thought season two was Venture Cup, but you could very well be right. This is, you're right. It was season three, and now yeah. Now as a battler, I'm really gonna tell you all: do your research. Mew and Defense Deoxys and Cast Form were the three high staples of that meta. And all three of those carry a rock move. All three of those can, like, nuke anything they want. You've got Muvset. That, oh, my goodness. Oh, Muvset was everywhere, that meta, too.
Yeah, that was an important learning moment for me in my career of, hey, Spice is fun, but make sure that it's something that you have a specific target you're going for. Because if you just throw Spice at a wall, that's an easy way to get smacked. So
that was a
definite good learning moment for me, kind of adapted from there. And now a lot of the time, if I'm running more anti-meta stuff, there's typically a goal in mind of a certain Pokemon that I'm trying to target, or just, yeah, that kind of stuff, where I'm at least putting a lot more thought into it than I did kind of in my much earlier years.
So then we're gonna move from the Sylph and the battling and stuff like that. So you said you've taken a little side step back because you've done more content. So then now you're battling, as we're talking about your growth as a battler and what you do when you expect these. Do you do tournaments? Are you looking to do tournaments? And when you make your content, do you have, like, the actual goal to, like, push for the win for the legend, or is it more for the information out there? Like, yes, I lost this matchup because my opponent overcharged. So next time, battlers, recognize this moment so that way you know what to do through that. Is that your, what are those future plans for you?
So I would say typically legend is something that I more view as over the course of the season, it's going to happen. Like it's not really a main focus. Like, it'll happen when it does. But the main thing is I want to go for entertainment value, but also throughout, like, I'm running this fun stuff, but I try and provide those educational moments. Like, as you said, like, explaining if there's a game where I lose and I make a mistake, I'm not going to shy away from that. I'm going to be like, hey, even if I won the game, this is a spot where I could have played better. Try and explain why. So that way people, even though they're having fun being like, oh my goodness, XL Whalmer, like, they can still look at it and then learn some stuff along the way, because try and make that learning process of improving as a battler a bit more entertaining. So
it's great that you want to be more entertaining. So you're veering more towards the entertainment aspect of it now. Is there new plans then for new development shows or new video ideas for you that you're working on in the mix now that you're focused more on this?
I do have some potential ideas that I've been weighing. Like, currently, it'll be interesting to see, because currently I'm also doing, my time unfortunately is a bit monopolized at the moment as well, because I have also started doing coaching. So that's
awesome.
So that's a bit less of the energy towards developing new stuff is now going towards just more coaching. And just, I'm a really big believer in making sure that people understand, like, proper charge move timing, stuff like that. And then obviously counting is a very important part, but specifically that charge move timing aspect of it, I think, is extremely important. And that's something that I'm definitely working to add nuggets about in my videos, but also just teach people about through a coaching perspective, because that's something that I don't feel like it's talked about as much, but specifically from a GBL MMR aspect can be a difference of several hundred ELO. Just right off the bat, just understanding turn durations, and when there's different turn durations, in what cycle should you throw your charge move to minimize the amount of free energy you're giving to your opponent? Because at the end of the day, stuff like that, at a high level, it will win you games if you know it. It will lose you games if you don't. So being able to learn that and start to get a handle on it, and as you practice it, it'll get more and more comfortable over time to the point where it'll just be second nature. And then at that point, you're going to notice a dramatic improvement.
Yeah, I think a lot of battlers that a lot of old school battlers, early battlers, got to get that. Because Sylph, in those first few months, in that first season of Sylph, every meta was a different attribute of battling that you got to learn about. So like the second meta or something was like a real focus on safe swaps. One meta was like real focus on making sure you were saving your energy. Like throughout all of these metas, if you watched any of the old videos and stuff like that, you kind of saw these things, and like each meta had a different battling aspect that it kind of opened up and allowed battlers to get better aspects of battling. So I feel like we don't have that with the new battlers. So having coaches there to help some of these battlers, because I get to Ace and I think I'm not trying to like belittle anybody, but I feel like Ace is really easy to get to if you know your counts, if you just do a little bit of understanding how to preserve energy and stuff like that. And sometimes you don't do that without a coach. And it's wonderful to have that kind of help from you out there. And there's other trainers out there as well that do that. Because at this day, a lot of the content creators aren't creating coaching aspects of it because the system isn't new anymore. It's old. So they're creating more, you know, this Pokemon's going to get views aspect, or this is a quick look real quickly, get a view because no one has it up yet aspect. And there's absolutely not that much. BTW is actually doing the Get Good series. If you want to go check that out, there's a video saga that they're working on. And it talks about each video segment talks about counting and stuff like that, which is great for real beginners, for those who are trying to understand the aspect of it. But yeah, like you were saying, it's an easy, once you understand the energy and how the mechanics of it work, easy 700 point gain.
Yeah, it is a massive improvement. I will say, you were mentioning like when the Sylph metas first started, there was a lot that had specific aspects of it. One thing that I really liked about the Ember meta was it was extremely condensed. Like there were definitely like top meta picks that a lot of people were using, but ultimately a lot of Ember felt like even negative matchups were very flippable if you were able to manage energy and shield advantage correctly. And so I felt like from that aspect, Ember ended up being a really, really good meta. And then I think that was a factions as well as just an all of Sylph meta. Was that correct?
Yes, that was factions of the last cycle 3 of season 2 of Sylph that we just had. And Ember actually is a very great nod to old style Sylph, in my opinion, where it was all type based. Because in the beginning, we only had types. Like we weren't as calculated into breaking down metas as we are now with Ionic Cup. But Ember was really a well-rounded meta. When they added those three normal Pokemon into that, the Snorlax, Greedent, and not Munchlax. What was the other third one? There's another Miltank. When they added those three, it really evened out Ember Cup. No, that was for Naiad. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, that was for Naiad. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I'm getting confused. But anyways, they're finding ways to kind of even it out. So Ember Cup was beautiful cup for a beginner. Like you said, it was condensed. Yes, there were literally four core Pokemon, and that was Poliwrath, Quillfish, Charizard, and Pillowswine. But battlers were able to reach and find other spicy, like other Pokemon that weren't as top dominant that could factor in and be a part of it. And it was a great nod there. Did you try Naiad Cup? Did you look at Naiad Cup?
I didn't know. Yeah, I am mainly just doing factions at this point, but a couple of my factions teammates did Naiad and quite enjoyed that meta.
Yeah, it was a the first wave was a really great introduction for Sylph battlers. Really nice. So if you were looking to get back into Sylph, I would have suggested Ember Cup or Naiad Cup if you wanted to. But yes, it was a factions, and I like that it was a factions too. This new factions wave is not mixed connected with the solo waves. And I had to tell my factions team, like, hey, guys, I need a break because I got to do all this. I got to do my Ionic metas. I got to learn Arcana and Catacombs still. Thank God those are the factions ones. So that's down the line. But yeah, there's a lot of content now coming out for battlers. Do you see yourself dipping into Sylph content anytime soon?
It's possible, but I think the main focus is probably just going to be GBL. Like, I have shown some factions battles on stream before, but purely just from a long form video content, I do tend to prefer Go Battle League overall.
Perfect. Then that answered one of my questions for you, GBL or Sylph. Show 6 or Blind 3, sir?
Ooh, that is interesting. From a using an anti-meta pick perspective, I like Blind 3s because it doesn't give people really the ability to prep. But at the same time, Show 6, like, I like them for different reasons. Like, Show 6, obviously, you can prepare for whatever your opponent's going to bring. So it basically just comes down to trying to read your opponent and devise a strategy that'll be effective from there. So in that way, I do like Show 6. But I also like the Blind 3 aspect just purely from the surprise aspect of I can run something kind of off meta my opponent's not prepared for and then use that to my advantage.
Oh, I love it. I love it. In the beginning of battling, there was a Go Hub.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did a counter of the meta. So they'd post up a list. They do like PV poke. They post up the list of the top 25, but then they also post up the list of the top 25 counters of the meta. And I'd always look at that list and just find like the most random ones on both pages and then get them to work. It was so beautiful.
Nice.
Would love to have you out there doing SILF, but I understand GBL, there's so much GBL content and you make wonderful Pokemon content out there. So my question then to you said shoutcasting was a thing. Would you ever want to join Poke Battle Network's Friday Night Fights if I do that and love to join us for shoutcasting? Would you like to do that?
Yeah, I'm always down for shoutcasting opportunities because it is probably what I enjoy the most, like being able to bring that excitement to battling. And then hopefully one day it's kind of unclear how they select shoutcasters for the NA regionals, but I'd love to be selected for that because that would be an absolute dream come true.
Actually, beautiful. Great. Thank you for, I was going to transition us right into there. Would you like to do it as well? Are you looking to be part of NAEU casters? Have you applied?
Yeah. So for NA, unfortunately, it doesn't really seem like there's much of an application process. You just kind of have to hope.
But, speediest, please. Caleb, hello.
Yeah. So my hope is that I definitely get picked at some point because I feel like I have a lot to bring to the table in terms of a battler who's not only can bring the excitement, because I feel like that's important, but also someone who's been there. As you mentioned, I think it was like 10-time legend, hit 3,500 last season. So someone who also knows the game from a meta and also from a mechanical perspective as well. So kind of combining those two aspects of knowledge, but also bringing the energy, bringing the excitement, and trying to elevate an overall broadcast to combining good battles with great shoutcasting just takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, you got the excitement and the electricity in your voice. So yeah, that's why I would love to see out there and casting with them as well. So you don't, most of my questions are based at the end here, are based with Pokemon in mind, but did you play any VGC after now that you've been a part of Go?
I actually have not, no.
You haven't even picked up a Switch and done Violet yet?
I have not, no.
Oh, my guy. After being away and getting back into it, I would say go for Violet. Go for it. Like, as a person, like, it's real simple. It's real fun, simple. Best field ever. The Pokemon are just, like, out there. It's so much fun. Would you plan on doing it?
Maybe at some point. I think for now my main focus is still just going to be Go, because Go, especially with, as we discussed earlier, like getting resources for trying a lot of new stuff and building new spice picks, and is a constant grind to try and keep my Stardust count above water. But yeah. In the future, it's definitely not something that I'm opposed to.
Excellent. All right, then. Since VGC's gaming and old school gaming's out, let's talk metas then. Sounds like you have a little bit of a thing you'd like to talk about with this new meta. Are you upset with how the way the meta played out with this new change?
So is that specifically with the Season of Rising Heroes update?
Like, we're just talking Season of Rising Heroes. And I'll tell you, I'll give you my perspective too. Like, I'm going to just let you know right now, like, I'm okay with the way the meta played out.
Yeah.
So
personally,
I don't mind. I love hearing people's talk and having a conversation with people about it. So
yeah, my personal preference is I would have liked to see changes specifically targeting the Great League meta, because personally, I feel like Masters is in a pretty nice spot. Masters isn't something that I played a lot up until the last couple seasons, because it's been a long time to accumulate those resources. But Masters feels like it's in a very good spot where there are meta cores, but you can leverage shield advantage, energy lead to flip a lot of unfortunate matchups. So in that regard, Masters doesn't feel as RPS as a lot of leagues. And then in Ultra, with the increased bulk, it feels like there's a lot more flexibility in terms of, since your mons are surviving for a lot longer, there's more potential chances to save a mon for later, switch out, try and try and desync switch timers, whether that's try and bait in a matchup to grab a shield, land a nuke, potentially flip a bad matchup. Whereas in the current Great League meta, it feels like at least among the top 15 to 20 Pokemon, there ends up being a lot of rock, paper, scissors aspects of it, where you end up, since the Lantern buff, in a bit of a very unfortunate triangle shape here of Lantern beating the Flyers, which beats Trevenant, which beats Lantern. So in that regard, a lot of people find the current Great League meta frustrating. And so I think potentially having some certain shakeups could have been something that a lot of people would have appreciated from a Great League perspective. I honestly think Ultra and Masters are pretty good as is, but I think a lot of people were frustrated by a combination of a blog post littered with myriad spelling mistakes and graphical errors.
Oh my God.
And then 60% of changes being adding Boom Burst to mons that can't use Boom Burst reliably is definitely a frustration there, because Fairywind Whimsicott, I think, is a very nice change. Doesn't make it top meta, but it gives it increased viability, whereas Charm and Razor Leaf didn't really do anything for it. And then Surf Jelly at least gives it some additional flexibility, which is nice compared to having to rely on Bubble Beam debuffs. But I feel like it would have been really nice to possibly certain options that could have been done is tweaking certain electric types, because both Lantern and Flyers are either neutral or super effective to electric. So potentially increasing other electric type viability could have been a very interesting change. Also, potentially Ice Punch Diggersby could have been another option
Are you kidding me?
Actually, Ice Punch Diggersby targets all three. If you have Lantern.
I know. So you're just talking just Ice Punch and Fire Punch Diggersbys then. We're looking at Hypnos all over again. It's season two Hypnos so scare all over again.
You could run Ice Punch Fire Punch or Ice Punch Earthquake. And then that way you have a mon that up energy or up shields can realistically target to a certain extent the Flyers with Ice Punch. You have on Trevenant, you obviously have Ice Punch, which can hit for super effective in the place of Fire Punch, and the double resist on the Ghost moves, meaning they have to go for three Seed Bombs to KO from full health if you're XL. And then you have the Spark resist. Obviously, Surf hits for super effective, but you have the Earthquake for Lantern. So just continuing to target what are certain cores that people are using, and then adding, you don't necessarily have to nerf everything into oblivion. I'm a big believer of you can bring up other Pokemon, is target things to potentially break apart some of those top cores. Because I imagine like Niantic Labs will have access to usage data. I know they do, in fact, because that's how they do Remix Cups, right? Is they'll take a look at what people are running. And I feel like if they can take a look at what people are running in cores and look to potentially target those, that's a way to keep things fresh. And at the end of the day, other games that have seasons, like, for example, I mean, these are very much a different kind of game, but like an Apex or a Fortnite, try and have changes so that metas are adjusted every 3 months. It doesn't have to be everything you built last season is now garbage. Like, I'm not a big nerf everything to the ground person, but continuing to tweak things to give people different ways to play the game, I think adds a lot of excitement and keeps the player base incentivized to play. Because that's at the end of things, I want to keep the players who are playing and hopefully encourage new players to play. So I think from that aspect, I would have liked to see more changes. It didn't have to be a massive amount, but just changing more than they did, I think, could have been very interesting. And even small changes, like, let's say if you want to take a look at Dramat at like adjusting the moveset of something like Heliolisk, a electric normal type. Electric has play into Lantern plus flying. Normal type, you have the Ghost resist, the Ice Punch Diggersby. A couple things you could have done to provide people new things to try, allow the meta to shake up a bit and see how it evolves from there.
That was a lot. That was good. No, I agree with what you're saying. Got to shake it up to keep the people coming back. It's absolutely true. I love the fact that they do this every 4 months. Keep us fresh. Keep us on our toes so it doesn't get stale. This last shakeup, 60% Boom Burst. What? Why? Why? Like, we already were mad. And like the worst part about it is that we already saw how useless it was with Neuvern.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even, like, you can't even get to it. I tried using it on a couple of Pokemon. Can't even get to it in Great League. Like, don't even try. It's absolutely meant for Master and Ultra League. Not even on Hakamo-O, or Koma-O, which I have. And I was like, let's try it. It's just terrible. Can't even get to it. But I'm okay with that. In the fact that we're like halfway through the season. Yeah, you know, it's the same four Pokemon or the same three dominant, right? The Medicham, the Trevenant, and the Gfisk, and the Noctowl. We've seen them. And Lantern, let's not lie. Lantern, and then Ninetales. Like, literally those six Pokemon right there. Now Ninetales is popping up because of that Shadow and Charmer, and people are finally copying properly how to do the Ninetales Powder Snow. I feel, though, with this meta, we've had a lot of opportunity and a lot of champions come out who are bringing spice, who are bringing the off-meta, one or two type off-meta Pokemon, just like we were talking about with the Ember Cup. It's very condensed meta, but you're still having an opportunity to play with Pokemon outside of that. Like one of the battlers that won two cycles ago brought in Victini when Victini finally got the quick attack boost. Like that is incredible. We have, we had Shadow Charizard now pop up as a thing because people are playing it. So I feel like, yes, we like the shakeup. We want to see the shakeup, but I feel like a lot of the battlers aren't doing what you do, aren't really diving down to see other Pokemon that they can play with. Fish on a Heater almost wiped out everybody with a Lantern and a Charizard. And Dialap just took out everybody with no counter user. And Homeslice Harry, would you agree with me that counter is probably the best fast move in the game?
Yeah, counter and Shadow Claw are pretty much 1A, 1B.
Right. So I feel like this meta didn't really need that big of a shakeup. I do feel that Fairy Wind, Whimsicott will be played. I feel somebody will be able to showcase this somehow. It's in the bones. And the Jellicent Surf was definitely a Sylph play to help out the Jellicent and Sylph now. Because now, for most of us, you never really cared about using Jellicent ever, or cared about, you know, whether or not the Jellicent play, because the only thing you had to worry about was the Shadow Ball. And if you're willing to sacrifice your Pokemon and play around it, then Jellicent really didn't give you much play. Now with Surf, it has a lot more play around that ground typing. You can put that bubble out there, put the good pressure onto those Gfisk, onto those steel typings that are coming out there. So I liked that it wasn't as you know, crazy changing. I like to take some of the small things and make do. But I do agree 60% of Boom Burst is terrible. because you get like, come on, like even if it was like 60% of the Pokemon got Tackle, like, yeah, Tackle's good, but like, what are you doing? Why are you giving most of that? Like, was this a normal meta then? Is that what we're supposed to think? Like, this is because usually their cores change with the typings. Like, oh, we're giving all electric a boost, or oh, we're giving all poison a boost, or oh, we're giving all fire a boost. Like, everybody got Boom Burst. It's weird. but yeah, that's my spiel. Any thoughts on that?
My thought is, I agree with your points as far as the play Pokemon meta goes, but at least in terms of GBL, I still feel like a bigger shakeup was needed. Like, yeah. Play Pokemon is something where that meta may not necessarily be solved, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of Pokemon overlap, but it plays differently to a certain extent, whereas from a GBL aspect, I feel like a lot of it can feel very stale. So from that regard, I do feel like every 3 months having something that people can, like multiple different new picks that can target those new cores, is something that's needed. Like every 3 months, when that new season hits, give people a reason to be excited, queue up, and play those new battles. Because currently, the current Great League meta with the buff of Wing Attack and the buff of Lantern. It ends up being in a very repetitive cycle, so to speak. It ends up being in a little bit of a rock, paper, scissors triangle. So I do think that from a Go Battle League perspective, a bigger shakeup was still needed. Because play Pokemon meta may not necessarily be solved, but I feel like GBL to a certain extent is.
See, and that's where we'll differ, because I don't think GBL like you do. And that's why you're a top GBL battler hitting legend all the time. And I'm just comfortable sitting an ace. So my friend, what was your favorite season of GBL?
Ooh, that's a very tough one. I would say I liked the amount of updates we had in the September of 2022 season. Like that one, there was just like that amount of updates made it extremely fun.
That was the Lantern one, right? The one we got with Lantern.
That was where we had like 100 changes or whatever, and it was
that's where the
ridiculous.
Quick attack, the tackle.
Yeah,
it was the one right before Wishful Thinking. It was it started with an M.
Was that Magical Wishes?
I thought Magical Wishes was the last one.
Maybe it was. I can't remember.
I can't either, but I know what you're talking about, because I love those ones too. And that was right after the season of Play Pokemon came out. Like Play Pokemon had finished Worlds, London was done, and then they gave us this delicious, like, 70 Pokemon getting body slammed, Giraffa Rigs boosting up with double kick.
It felt fresh.
Like
everyone was hype after the World Cup. Everyone saw what was possible. And then we get that big update. And then everyone was like, the category was popping, like from a content creator perspective. And regardless, obviously we aren't every player, but you can see, like, I watch a lot of Go Battle League on Twitch, and like that season, like I would say specifically this season, we have top creators going live for only variety content, and it's week two. And to me, that shows that, like, the excitement, the hype of a new season that a new season I feel like should bring isn't there. And that's what, like, we have people like Crimson, who is a pretty big Twitch streamer, going live and doing variety instead of playing GBL, because GBL just isn't, people aren't necessarily, from a GBL perspective, as excited to do 90 days of basically the same Grey League meta. Like, the one thing I will give them credit for, I think Ultra Fantasy Cup is one of the best limited metas they've ever had. But from an open Grey League perspective, I do feel like the ball was dropped, so to speak. Like, it feels identical to the previous season, and 90 more days of the same meta, I don't think is what people were hoping for, because I feel like people felt that meta from a GBL perspective was fairly stale. And unfortunately, Fairywind Whimsicott, I think, is a cool update, but needed 5 or 6 more of those, and then people would have been a lot more happy. Like, there are things they could have done to make it interesting that weren't done. And unfortunately, we got the season of Boom Burst.
Rising Hero, Boom Burst. Boom or Burst? It's definitely a burst. It was a burst.
I tried the Boom Burst months. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And it just, it just hurt my feelings.
I tried in Great League, and I was like, cool, the 1 through 5 rankings. You can just basically throw anything as long as you know, like, counting and stuff. I couldn't even get to it. Like, I couldn't get to it. I couldn't even stay alive to get to the charge move. That's
exactly
how bad it was. I was like,
and
this is trash.
Just why was it
ever needed?
Yeah, like,
I was excited because, like, I was like, cool, a normal nuke against the Umbreon, against what seemed like was going to be like Greedent and Raticates coming up now, these tanky normal Pokemon, Snorlaxes. So giving them a Boom Burst, something that you don't have to use a fighter for, but you can't get to it.
It feels like the rollout of Meteor Beam in the previous season was a terrific update. Like, Meteor Beam Aurorus, I don't know if you've tried it, Sosa. It is so much fun.
Changes the meta. In Great League, not in Ultra League, because I only have a Great League Aurorus.
Yeah, in a Ultra, I think it was Ultra Holiday Cup.
Okay.
The meta basically revolved into this really, really fun dynamic between, I mean, obviously there were a lot of options that could put in work, but the Ultra Holiday Cup meta, basically my view is almost every Ultra League limited meta they've done from a GBL perspective is so good. That might just be because I'm favoring Ultra League a lot more lately, but it ended up being where most everyone had an Auroras, and it was basically how do you dance Auroras around the things designed to beat it. Like Virizion, of course. The Virizion Auroras dynamic ended up being very interesting. Virizion, of course, hitting for double super effective, being able to outpace to the first, but with energy or a boost, Auroras could flip it. So it ended up just being a very, very fun meta overall, and just Auroras. There were entire games where my win con was catch a meet like an Auroras mirror, fully sacrifice an entire other Pokemon to a meteor beam so that my Auroras wouldn't have to shield that beam, obviously, and then my Auroras could win. Like, it's so fun. And I feel like so that was good. Attempted with the Boom Burst, but Boom Burst just wasn't nearly as good of a move. Whereas Meteor Beam on Gigalith was terrible because Gigalith was like the worst possible mon you could give it to. But like, I would love to see more what I consider to be bad typings get moves like Meteor Beam. Like, no one's shouting from the rooftops about the defensive prowess of Rock, and like Ice Rock from a defensive perspective is pretty atrocious. But you can give a move like Meteor Beam to Auroras and have it where even despite that typing that really isn't the best, it can just... I would love to see more moves like that, even if it's like a bug type meteor beam or something. Like, give those typings that are severely underrepresented due to how honestly poor they are into a lot of the current meta. And just, you can give, in my view, you can give typings like that really good moves because they kind of need the help, so to speak. Like, there's at least...
Well, there's Megahorn. There's Megahorn for bug typing.
There is.
Every typing does have a good... Normal was the only one that really didn't. Normal's the only good thing that they had was Last Resort. After that, there was nothing. It was like fast moves. Boom Burst is actually the first normal nuke that we've got. But everybody else has a good nuke. Steel has Flash Cannon. Ground has Earthquake. Poison has Sludge Wave. Shadow Ball is godly.
Although ghost typing is pretty good as is.
I mean,
like,
come on.
If we take a look at just trying to identify, like, it does have Megahorn, but even so, you don't really see Megahorn Pokemon impacting the current meta. Like, we saw it in the Walrein Trevenant meta, and I think it was Last Chance Qualifiers and at Worlds.
Samurott.
We saw Stone Collection with Samurott, and that was a really cool addition where, for all the people who were strongly disliking the Walrein Trevenant meta, I find myself liking it more because that meta felt like with baiting, with energy, with shields, you could flip yourself out of losing matchups. Whereas to me currently in the Knocked Owl Trevenant Lantern, they counter each other so severely that it often ends up feeling like even with shield advantage, like even if you have two shields on your Lantern to one on Trevenant, you're not really flipping that. Same with if you have a shield advantage Trev into a full health Owl, you're not really flipping that. And I feel like that's having a more flexible picks is something that I think a lot of feels is missing to a certain aspect because the extreme generalists have now been checked either by move updates. Like the move updates to the Walrein and the Nidoqueen, and then Lickitung, of course. We saw a bit of a resurgence in it in the most recent meta, but Lickitung is, of course, very severely checked by Knocked Owl. And so a lot of those, and Sableye also ends up being decently checked by Knocked Owl. We have seen a bit of an increase in Shadow Sableye, which has been a bit of an interesting development. But a lot of those
power gem for it.
Yeah.
Love that idea.
And then the fact that, I mean, it's IV dependent, but double foul play from a shadow can actually KO the owl, whereas for the regular, you need a shadow plus return. So it ends up being a lot fewer turns to get to. But it's something where we don't really have a good generalist at the moment. And I think having a meta where from a meta building perspective, as far as OGL goes, working towards trying to find a meta where there are a couple generalists, I feel like that can be quite nice. Like from a, even if we talk about Naiad perspective, something like Tackle Miltank ended up being a very nice general. Like there were some generalists in that meta where even in a not great matchup, they can still apply a lot of pressure, put in a lot of work. And I don't feel like we see that as much in the current meta. It feels like we see a lot of harsh matchups where it comes down a lot more to, at least in a show six aspect, line reading, which is a skill. But as far as GBL goes, it ends up feeling more rock, paper, scissors. And that ends up leading to a lot of frustration. So I think that's the distinction where this meta can work from a show six perspective, but from a blind three perspective, it ends up leading to a lot more frustration, or you end up having to resort to some, which I can do because it's something that I tend to look for anyway, tend to look for a lot more anti-meta picks, but for a lot of people, they end up getting very frustrated running what should in theory be the top mons, but they end up in a very unfortunate rock, paper, scissors cycle.
The thought process, the different thought process between us blows my mind, the way you think. Because when you think of battles, it's all through the GBL aspect of the blind three. And I don't ever think like that because I grew up on show six. Like I trained on show six. So like, you know, you're talking like as a GBL, I can understand it's stale. And that's why I don't like playing GBL sometimes. Yeah. But then also I'm not like really banking to go do build Ultra League Pokemon or Master League Pokemon. So that's just my own downfall. But as a Sylph battler, you know, and as a line reader, the skill of that is great. And I thought that Trevenant Walrein meta was fine. And I understand what you're saying now as a generalist when you say that. And for the audience members out there, will you let everybody know what a generalist means when you say generalist Pokemon?
So generalist typically means something that is very flexible, where that even in its bad matchups with an energy lead or with a shield advantage can flip those matchups. Like let's say in the pre-Noctowl meta, Lickitung was a very strong generalist because even if someone brought in, let's say, the top fighter like Medicham, fighter normally counters normal. Lickitung has a lot of play there. And then Walrein was a very good generalist because even if you switched in something like a Medicham into a Shadow Walrein, Walrein could make it very close to the point where Medicham would have to throw energy. So there were certain Pokemon, and then Sableye still is a pretty decent generalist to, like, for example, where Sableye with energy can even have play. If you get your baits right or land a return, it can even flip Azumarill, which is a type disadvantage. But Sableye is very effectively checked by Noctowl, whereas Noctowl knows if you switch in fast enough and you go double sky attack, you can always win the zeros there. And it's very comfortable because you'll get to your double sky attack in 24 turns, whereas they're going to need a foul play plus a return. So as long as you aren't very, very slow on your switch in, you can always win zeros. So it ends up making it less effective of a safe switch in terms of, it ends up discouraging balanced lines a lot, where typically in team building, there's your A, B, B style teams where you have a safe switch designed to bait out your opponent's best response to your closer, and then you're trying to get shield advantage or an energy lead for your closer. Metas like this end up discouraging balance lines because balance lines are typically where you'll have a core, which is two Pokemon that complement each other very well. I'm obviously, Sosa knows this. I'm just explaining it in case there's listeners who may not be familiar with it.
Yeah, and but that's what beginner to winner is, to help the beginners as well who don't know what a generalist Pokemon is, because that is a very key thing in that for a lot of us, people might be hearing you and everybody talk about how upsetting this meta shift is. So understanding what a generalist Pokemon is and having you describe it to them helps us, you know, help us as trainers understand like why maybe next time we see 60% of a boom burst that GBL might be stale.
Yeah, because GBL ends up, like, show six ends up being very different because line reading ends up being something that's skill based a lot of the time, trying to read your opponent, identify what are they likely to bring, go on that. In a blind three format, it ends up, if you kill the generalists and then this move up, they didn't add any generalists. It ends up being where basically outside of running a line where you're just hoping to win the lead, which some people do in terms of strategy, it kind of kills the ABC style, which is you have a core pairing. So your A and your C that complement each other's weaknesses very well. And then you have a generalist as your safe switch so that if you lose the lead, you are then going to send in your generalist and fight for switch. Because if you can get good alignment for your core that covers each other's weaknesses, odds are you're going to do pretty well. But in a meta where the previous generalists all now either have been nerfed or have a check that makes them a lot less of a generalist, it de-incentivizes ABC style play. So you basically end up with a lot of people attempting to ABB each other. And that can be like, let's say if you talk about one of the most famous ABB styles, Bastiodon plus two grass types. If that's your ABB and then someone else is running Medicham plus double flyer, Medicham double flyer, obviously going to RPS the, like going to be very, just basically mon for mon counter the Bastiodon double grass. But then you have someone trying Pelipper double steel as their ABB, and Pelipper double steel, presumably another ABB team, going to hard counter the Medicham double flyer. So you end up being where a lot of games end up not necessarily being decided on skill. I mean, some games still are, but I find an increasing portion of them, if you're running those top mons, end up relying more on just, it feels like more luck of the draw. And that's very frustrating from an aspect of players would rather, at least in a blind three format, there be more flexible Pokemon so that games feel like they're more decided on skill and decision-making instead of just luck of the draw. So I think that's, hopefully I'm communicating as best as I can why a lot of GBL players were very, very verbally upset with those updates. Is it was a very frustrating meta in this past season, and the changes or lack thereof didn't really do anything to address it. So from a GBL perspective, which presumably I would imagine in the long run of things, as far as game longevity goes, they're going to run out of Pokemon to release at some point. Like we are rapidly catching up with the main series. So
brother,
we're not, brother.
That we're only on Gen 6. I think we only have Gen 6 starters. They're like now slow down and they're doing like every tour of generations. Like think about it, we're on Gen 3 generation on the tours. They're going to like pop them out. Like we got four more gens before we're even in Alola. So four more years. Like where are you going to be in 2027 for the Alola tour?
Is at the end of it, I imagine Battle League has to be part of their long-term plans. Like it's added to the World Championships. Like it seems like something they're invested in. And when it comes to getting new faces into these tournaments, I mean, obviously in-game doesn't have a Show 6 format, but in terms of honing people's battle skills, it feels like the most logical way to do that is through Go Battle League. But if you're not providing updates or necessarily listening to community feedback, something that I worry is that a lot of battlers who are passionate about it, if they don't feel like that passion is being met, may just dramatically reduce the amount they battle or just stop altogether. And we have seen some people, especially content creators, leaving the scene due to frustrations over lack of updates.
Yeah.
And so that's something that does have me a bit worried for the long-term success. Is from a Show 6 perspective, the meta may work, but what's your funnel to get people into that Show 6, into those tournaments? It's Go Battle League. That's the app that people play it through. Like if people at this past World Championships see Emmy Weedle and Dancing Rob win and they're like, this looks cool, I want to try it, what are they going to do? They're going to open their app, they're going to click on that Pokeball button, and they're going to hit battle, and they're going to end up in a blind three format. So I think from a game planning perspective, ensuring that the meta works not just for Show 6, but for blind threes as well is important to the long-term health and viability of Show 6, which feels somewhat counterintuitive, but at the same time, I feel like it's important because you need to have players in that funnel if you want tournaments to be full of people. And I think that's the way to do that is making sure that the aspect of it that gets people into the game is still enjoyable. And I think that's where my criticism of Niantic with this update falls.
I agree. Like, everybody got into the game during the pandemic pre-GBL. Like, and that wasn't, like, GBL was not supposed to be this 25 set thing that you just always get. It was supposed to be 5 battles, and you had to walk 5 miles to get another 5 battles. So, like, that is what GBL was. But once they unlocked it and it became this, like, everyday thing, you know that this is where people are getting the exposure from. So they do watch that. You're absolutely right. And I have to ask you then, how would you feel about a ranked and unranked system? So, like, instead, you know how they have, like, you can either do Color Cup or GBL. If you just added a unweighted GBL button so that you can go and take a team in practice, how would you feel about that?
I think that could be an interesting addition. Honestly, if they did something like that in addition to the 5 sets, I wouldn't hate if, like, a practice mode had a play 5 battles and then walk a kilometer and then you can play 5 more in a practice sense. In a GBL sense, I don't think they can ever bring it back, but in terms of extra sets, I don't think that's a bad idea, because it's clear their incentive is they're trying to get people outside, and that fair enough. But I do still think that from a gameplay perspective, ensuring that the base game that funnels into play Pokemon is still enjoyable in a Great League aspect is just so important. And I feel like that's why we saw basically just, I would describe it as an uproar when those updates were announced, because just didn't feel like their voices were being heard, so to speak. And they don't even really know where to send that criticism, because it's not like there's a, hey, do you want to give some feedback on the GBL meta? There's not really like a button to do that. So people just go to Twitter and get frustrated because they don't really feel like there's a great place other than adding Niantic support, who is probably just some like 23-year-old in their first job who's like, bro, I don't make these decisions. Why are you yelling at me?
I just got in here today.
Exactly. I'm just here so I don't get fined, man. Like, I don't know what you want from me. My name's Derek. This is my first job, and I make none of these decisions. Like, but it just doesn't feel like there's... So I think that's why we saw a lot of upset. But my hope is that Niantic will... I hope that what I've said today was communicated in a way that kind of makes sense as to why people were upset. Mm. Because from a play Pokemon perspective, I think the meta is fine. Yeah. Personally, some may disagree. I think all of the, not quite secrets of the meta, but like how to play the meta has yet to be solved, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
But I think from a blind 3 aspect, it is. And it's very triangle shaped in nature. And so if you end up running a lot of the common stuff, you'll end up being very, very frustrated.
Yeah.
Just because of that, those lack of generalists, which de-incentivizes one of the most common team building strategies. So I think if adjustments are made every 3 months, specifically to kind of target either getting a generalist back or targeting if there's like an overpowering meta core, something that can help combat that. Like, as you mentioned, Ice Punch Diggersby has play into all 3 of those. That could then become a very interesting generalist-esque Pokemon. Where does it have counters? Of course, it does. Like, Ice Punch Diggersby is still going to get smacked around by something like a Swampert, but it at least has play into a lot of what ends up being perceived as an issue with the meta. So yeah. I think just taking the time to target that will be could end up, you know, working out very nicely for Niantic in the long run, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. Let's hope that they listen to us and understand this as well. And maybe they don't understand that they're not putting the generalist out there, and so that this helps them understand that. Yeah. Sir, we talked about meta for a good bit here. What are your future plans for Home Slice Henry?
Future plans? I would love to be able to, down the road, be able to shoutcast one of the Play Pokemon tournaments. That would be an absolute dream come true. So that's something that I'm hoping I however that's decided, I get picked at some point. And then from there, it's just continuing to try and show people there's multiple ways to play the game and also just advocate for the people who play the game. Like, I'm not sponsored by Niantic. I don't have any connection with them, but just try and use my platform to inspire people and show people how they can get better at the game, because it's something that I was pretty trash when I started, and now I think I'm at least pretty decent. And then also just continuing to advocate for what I believe would be a better path for Niantic to take with regards to Go Battle League and updates, because I think having those regular every 3 month updates with the season is something that's important to keeping things fresh and keeping people entertained and invested in the Blind 3 format, because that's what, outside of tournaments, like, that's what people are doing. Like, people are playing Go Battle League, and so you want to have it where it's an enjoyable thing instead of like, oh boy, I can't wait to do the same thing I've done for like 5 or 6 months.
are you trying to do in-person tournaments or going out to your in-person tournaments in your community?
I haven't yet. I'm still kind of holding. My preference would be to be at them as like a commentator. I feel like that's where I could achieve the most in terms of like
continuing to build that team. Come to Arizona. I'll have you come. I'll cast with you. Come on out, my friend. We'll do a live. I'll host a live tournament with you. We'll cast it out. I'd love to do that with you.
All right. Well, I have to chat in DMs about that one schedule wise. Yeah, but that sounds fun. But yeah, no, that's
it'd be great to have you out.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of fun. So I've been the events I've gone to have been the Seattle Go Fest and the Vegas Hoenn Tour. So I haven't gone to like a regional yet.
Okay. Because
I'm still kind of like competing is something that I could do, but it's something where I feel like in terms of like continuing to push the scene forward, I feel like I can have the maximum impact there as a caster, because I feel like I can bring that combination of excitement and game knowledge and really just help try and, if I get that opportunity, try and elevate the game and the scene as much as I'm possibly able to.
Awesome. Well, I wish you the best of luck out there. And hopefully one day you and I are sitting at the table together casting those battles out. But hopefully you do get to be on the table for yourself, because you have been working so hard over the many years here and providing people content through the pandemic, which is huge too, because not for nothing, a lot of people were in a negative area. So they definitely picked up the game. But the fact that you were able to spit content out and help us go through it and see different types of Pokemon and get this viewership and help the community kind of stick with the game has just been absolutely amazing and a great achievement here. So thank you, sir, for all your hard work. I don't know if you don't feel appreciated. Hopefully you do. If not, we really appreciate all that you do for the community and making these amazing footage videos.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. That's incredibly kind of you.
No, it's incredibly kind of you to be doing this for the community that, like, I mean, like you said, you're not even sponsored by Niantic, and it's every day, at least two or three. Like, real quickly, is it just like, hey, I just had some extra content. Here's two videos today.
Because like some
days, okay. Because like some days, I was going through, I'm like, oh my god, I've got to like 40 videos, and it's only been like 3 weeks. And then I'll just go through a little more, and it's like, wait a minute, it's been like 20 videos, and I've like gone through almost a year. I think that's great, and it's just shows your dedication and your passion. And it's wonderful that you're able to take this and make it your full time. So please keep doing it, and I do wish you the best on getting up there, because energy and electricity is absolutely needed on that stage all the time. The casters are doing a great job with it too, but it's always nice to have fresh new blood up there giving some electrifying commentation, especially when you know what you're talking about. Yeah. I would suggest though picking up a game, maybe a VGC game. I'm just saying, or the cards. Pokemon is, you know, one of those organizations that's probably going to quiz you on all three of the things in order to be a part of the one. Do you play Unite, or have you tried Unite on your phone?
I tried it for a couple games, but I didn't get too into it.
Yeah. Well, sir, Home Slice Henry, is there anything you'd like to say out there to the audience before we end this lovely interview?
I think that's about it. Yeah, just thank you so much for having me. I definitely appreciate it.
I really appreciate you taking this time to be a part of this. And thank you again. I know I just fangirled all over you earlier. but no, seriously, thank you. And for all those who you have helped, congratulations on being so dominant in your amazing stream. Keep up the amazing work. And I can't wait for the next XL Pokemon to come out.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.